Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Okay, we're going to have an incredible day this morning. We're in our series called It's a Wrap. Wrapping up 2019 in a big way, getting ready and inspired for 2020. And I feel like I have a helpful word for you this morning that's in the book of 2 Corinthians, and it's in chapter 4 if you want to turn there. But the premise of this series is it's our Christmas series, You Wrap Gifts, but we also want to wrap up the year well. And so really, we could just preach whatever we want. I choose to preach the Bible like we all do here in C3. This is what we know. We don't have that many great ideas, but God's got all of it in His Word. And so it's a wrap. And the title of the message, if you're taking notes, is Don't Lose Heart. Don't lose heart. It's a wrap. And maybe you're like me, and 2019 has been a bit of a tough year. Maybe. Maybe you're here and like there's been some battles that don't quite feel like they're done yet in 2019. You almost feel like you've been kind of dredging your feet through cement that's partially, like 2019's been pushing up against you, and it's been a bit discouraging. It's been kind of pulling hope away a little bit. But I believe that this message this morning is going to wrap up feelings of despair, wrap up feelings of depression and anxiety, wrap up a sense of I can't do this, and remind us that God is faithful, that He has got us, and that we're going to run forward to 2020 with hope, strength, conviction in the name of Jesus. Amen. And that's it. Okay, so we're just going to get the band up. No, I'm kidding. Let me pray before we begin. Father, I thank you so much that you're here today. I thank you that you'd use a fool like me to deliver your word. I'm so excited for what you have to say this morning. In your mighty name we pray. Speak to some people. Amen. Amen. So feel free to shout me down. It helps me preach faster. And maybe not speak faster, but preach faster. Get to the point. So engage yourselves a little bit, and it'll make my job easier. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, as I said, if you're taking notes, you want to jot that down. Start. I'll just read verse 1, and then I'll read some more of the passage and skip along a little bit. So therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Title of the message, don't lose heart. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not abandoned. Struck down but not destroyed. I don't know if you feel like in 2019 some of these feelings have been coming your way. Like I'm a little bit hard pressed from every side, but I'm here to remind you today that we are not broken. We're not in despair, that there is an answer on the inside of us. It says we always carry around the body of death of Jesus in our body so that His life may be revealed in our body as well. We're being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that the life of God may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, life is at work in you, yada, yada. Skipping down a little bit further, verse 16, Paul repeats himself, therefore we don't lose heart. He's reminding us that in amongst all of the crapola that we face, we don't have to lose heart because we serve a God who is capable of working in the mess. We serve a God who is capable of pulling us out of situations and helping us run forward to a strong future. Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, because what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. My goodness. Point one of today's message, like I said, jot it down. It'll help you remember what's happening here. Point one is His power, not ours. So if I want to run hard into 2020, if I want to not feel despair and brokenness in 2020, if I want to feel like I can make this thing happen, I need to recognize that it's His power and not my power. We need to recognize that this all-surpassing power is actually from God and not from us. And maybe you've been facing 2019 trying to find all the right answers in yourself, because I know I do this all the time. I'm like, I'm a smart person. I can work out the solution to this problem. And all along, God is saying, I've got the solution. Just come to me. Like, it's good that we think. It's good that we use our brains. But first and foremost, we need to recognize that this all-surpassing power is from Him and not from us. God has made us perfect in His eyes, but we think that out of this perfection, I can do this. Well, we're perfect because Jesus is on the inside of us. So out of His perfection, we can do this indeed. So I'll give you an example from my life when I was a little kid. You can ask my parents about it after service. They are here in the room. But I was learning to ski as a child, okay? And I was at the real mountains. I lived in the West. Blue Mountain is like blue half a hill. Ontario is perfect. I love the city of Toronto. I love Ontario. The lakes are incredible. The mountains are not mountains, okay? Rocky Mountains in Alberta, learning to ski. Yeah, there we go. I got the most shout down coming. But I'm learning to ski, and I had a sense that I've got this thing covered. So when you're learning to ski, at least then, I don't know if they still, but they attach like this leash to you. You're like a dog on a ski hill learning to ski. But I had a leash that was attached from my father to me. And so the leash would actually force me to turn because I was attached to my father. So I'm forced to turn at the right times. And as he would turn, I would turn. And as he would move, I would move. But I had this sense in my mind that I've got some power here. Like, I'm doing pretty well going down this hill. I'm turning at all the right times. I've got it covered. Mom and Dad, I can do this. I don't think I even need this leash attached to me because I'm capable of riding this ski hill. I'm more than capable. We do this with God sometimes. I'm more than capable of facing this problem on my own. Like, I feel like I've been turning the right way. I've been making the right decisions. And all along we forget it's because of our attachment to the Father in heaven that we've got things covered. Well, let me just say it did not end well for me. The very next run on my own, I crashed straight into a tree. And I'm crying. I'm like, why did you let this happen to me, Mom and Dad? Like, I'm upset. I'm hurt. And it's because I had forgot that it was actually my attachment to my father that kept me on the right track, that kept me moving forward. And we need to recognize that this power is from God and not from us. This all-surpassing power, it's His power and not our power. So we forget that the perfect God with all authority, all power, and all honor, He actually was the one who chose to put His light on the inside of us. Say, I'm not that great. I'm not that great either, but it's okay because God chooses to use vessels that aren't that great. It says we have this treasure in jars of clay. Jars of clay were imperfect. They would break easily. They weren't like the fine china, the dishware that's brought out on the perfect occasion. They were everyday things that God chose to put the treasure of His message on the inside of so that we could recognize, I'm not that great. It's His power, not my power. So where I am in my career, it's not that important. Where 2019 has brought me in my relationships, in my own strength, in looking after the right people my way, is not all that big of a deal. Quite frankly, we need to realize that our power is not nearly enough in comparison to His power. We need to stop trying to do 2020 on ourselves. We need to wrap up doing things in our own strength and recognize that it's His strength, not our strength. Paul realized this and he talks about it in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 9. And he goes on a little humble brag. It's funny because in Philippians 2, he talks about being humble like Christ, who being the very nature of God became a servant. He talks about how important humility is. And then he goes in Philippians 3, the very next chapter, verse 4, he says this, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Little bragging moment in writing to the church in Philippi? I don't know. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee. I knew it all. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. I'm perfect. I was perfect, he said. I could do it all by myself, sometimes we say. And I love that verse 7, he says, whatever was gains to me now, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. We need to recognize that the knowledge of God and the experience of relationship with Him is first and foremost way better than everything else we could receive. And we need to look to 2020 with how can I get deeper in my relationship with God? How can I build more connection with Him? How can I get more into His presence and more at His feet than I was in 2019? The problems, they'll work themselves out along the way. Let me guarantee you, 2020, you will face storms. Jesus guaranteed storms for everybody. But if we have Him with us in the process, it makes facing the storms a lot better. Maybe not a lot easier, but a lot better, because we have this all-surpassing power that's from Him and not from us. I'm not suggesting that we just sit back and relax, I'm waiting on God, quote unquote. I feel like there's this faith in action that comes into play, that we keep running forward and we keep making things happen, but we realize that when things happen, it's Him and not us. And when things don't happen, it's okay, because He's got it. He's got the wheel, He's in control, and He is capable. So let's continue to press into the presence of God and continue to move forward into 2020 with conviction that He's up to something. Say, He's up to something. 2020 is not coming our way, we're coming its way in the name of Jesus. We're ready and activated. We've wrapped up despair, we've wrapped up discouragement, and we're running into 2020 with hope. What happens is, like, tension and pressure, it actually builds us and grows us. And so you might feel like the pressure that you faced 5 years ago was way less. I've been, like, developing in my journey with God, and it feels like there's just more pressure. And it's because it's like, I feel like the pressure actually continues to stay at the same level, but the force grows over time because we grow. And as we grow, so pressure is actually force over area. So like, I'm a nerd, okay? I'm an engineer. I lost my ring, but I'm still a nerd. Pressure is equal to force over area. So it's the amount of weight that you're pushing down on something over how big it is. And as we press in to the presence of God, pressure actually stays the same. But what happens is we start to grow. And so to maintain that equal pressure, He's like, I can put more weight on this thing. So pressure is staying constant. But because we're growing, we're actually carrying more weight. And it feels like more, but we're a bigger person. So 2020, we're getting bigger. We're growing. We're running forward. The tension on a bowstring is as tight as it could be right before the bow is released into the future. So you might feel some tension. We're moving forward. Pressure produces diamonds, baby. Number two, out of the scripture this morning, number two is, there is an outward reality and an inward reality. Sometimes what we're facing and what we're seeing doesn't line up with what He is saying, with what the internal witness on the inside of us, the Holy Spirit, is like, you are victorious. My outside reality doesn't always feel like I'm victorious. Maybe 2019, you didn't feel like you had all the wins in the world, but the Holy Spirit's reminding you, you got to win. He's like, I'm using you. I'm building you. This happened to me all through the summer. He was speaking to me on faithfulness. And I came back from Presence 2020 with this thought of, we can do all things. We know all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, but didn't feel like all things were working together. We had like 6 different adoption presentations, and all of them were no's. And God's speaking to me about faithfulness, and I'm like, God, I don't see faithfulness. But there was this inner reality being produced in me about the faithfulness of God that didn't match up with my external reality. And I'm telling you this morning that maybe the external reality of your circumstance is that, like, I'm believing for hopefulness, and yet, like, maybe I've just lost a job, or I've just faced a massive relational tear. And the outside situation doesn't feel like hope, but on the inside, I've got this sense of hope. I'm telling you, cling to the inward reality, because the external reality isn't what God's asking us to fix our eyes on. He's asking us to fix our eyes on the inward reality. Decide in yourself what governs. Does your outside circumstance dictate the faith on the inside of you, or is the faith on the inside of you put by God in a time of prayer that you can actually allow the internal feeling to dictate the external reality that you're facing? We can't. So I got this image of, because it says that inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. He doesn't say inwardly we're being renewed Sunday by Sunday. Sometimes we expect Sunday mornings to renew us, and that's like enough to get us through the next 7 days. And sometimes it might be enough to get us through the next 7 days. But I'm telling you, God wants more for us. He wants us to be renewed day by day by going to him. And I got this image of, like, we think that we ought to be okay to do this thing and not go to him daily in prayer. It's like thinking that we could smell clean by not showering on a daily basis. Like, you get a few days into the, and you work out hard. So we're being worked a little bit in the spirit. Situations and pressures are coming our way, and they're causing us to sweat a little bit. But we forget we actually have to go back to him daily to shower. So I have to shower after working out if I want to smell nice. So we can't expect that without praying daily would maintain strength in God. So let's be those people that pray daily, that go to him daily, so that we can be renewed day by day. Practical things that might help with that. Time in the Word. Spend 10 minutes a day reading the Bible. John Bevere and somebody else did this interview that Pastor Katie was posting on her Instagram about statistics around people who spent time in the Word. And it was like, day 1, 2, and 3 was minimal level of growth of capacity and buoyancy, so to speak. Like, these people could make, but then day 4, it's like the buoyancy of someone who spent time in the Word skyrocketed at day 4 in a week. Let's keep pressing in, because I might not feel like something's happening, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. I might feel like I'm wasting away on the outside, but inwardly I'm being renewed day by day. Time in worship, time with Jesus. Maybe one other practical thing that can help with the daily renewal is recognizing that everything's not just about me. What if the trial that I'm facing is actually for somebody else's benefit? What if the battle that I'm going through, the fruit and the result and the victory of that battle is for somebody else to see, hey, they can do it, I can do it too. So we need to maintain that posture that God is in control, that he's got this, that I can run hard with him, because it's not just about me. Paul called the trials light and momentary. My goodness, I'm not going to read it now, but check out 2 Corinthians chapter 11 if you want to read about Paul's light and momentary trials. It talks about how many times he was shipwrecked, how many times he was beaten nearly to death, how many times he was persecuted and chased after for his faith. Light and momentary trials, they're producing a far weightier glory. It's because he knew that through his ministry, people were connecting to Christ. And he's like, that makes the battle worth it. So I know the battle for me is worth it because people are connecting to Jesus. Sometimes we just need to shift our perspective a bit and realize that it's not about us. Which brings me to my last thought, if the keys want to come up. And that's what we need to shift our focus. So we fix our eyes, verse 18, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we're going to run hard into 2020, full of strength and conviction, knowing that it's His power and not ours. And we're going to continue running, regardless of what the outward reality says, because the inward reality is that God is faithful, that He has got me, that we can do this with Him. And in the process of making that happen, what we need to do is shift our focus back to Him. A daily thing of returning our eyes back to heaven, returning our eyes back to His Word, returning our heart back to His presence in prayer, because it helps us realize just how good He's been. Maybe 2019, like I said, maybe it's been hard. Maybe you've been feeling a bit of pressure, but here you are at a church service in December. And God is asking you, lift up your eyes a little bit above the horizon. See that I am right here with you. See that I am capable of making 2020 a year of celebration, a year of hope, a year of goodness. Look to eternity and see what He's doing. Shift our perspective a little bit. I'm not excluded from this process. I found myself complaining from time to time. And then the Holy Spirit slaps me in the face and He's like, what are you doing? It's okay. You recover quickly because he's the comforter as well, so He brings comfort. Hebrews 12 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Consider Him who faced such opposition. Maybe you feel like you're facing such opposition right now. Jesus did the same, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Don't lose heart. Whatever we focus on gets magnified in our mind. And sometimes we've spent too much time focusing on a problem rather than the answer to the problem. And I'm here to remind us this morning that we need to shift our eyes and focus on the answer to every problem, the answer to every sickness, the answer to every sense of weakness. It's found in Him and Him alone. His name is Jesus. He is here to meet with us. Let's stop focusing on what we don't have. Let's stop focusing on the reality that we're facing. Let's stop focusing on the problems that are coming our way. And let's focus on God. Let's focus on His answers. The Israelites had to do this conquering Jericho. There were some mighty high walls. So basically what happened is this angel showed up to this dude, Joshua, and he said, see, I have given you Jericho. And there was these really high walls. And he gave him this crazy plan of how to conquer it. And I would imagine these walls would have been speaking to the Israelite army every day. They had to walk around them for 7 days straight. And this is like a problem for us sometimes. We're walking around it again and again. And if we look at the problem, we will never see the way out of the problem. We need to look to the solution, which is God. We need to look to the answer that He's probably already given us. He told Joshua, I have given you Jericho. So Joshua had to continue to look to the fact that I have been given Jericho. Regardless of what these walls are telling me, I have been given Jericho. Regardless of what your problem is telling you, you have been given victory in Jesus' name. So let's look to Him. Let's look to hope. And let's believe that He's got us. Maybe you're here in this place, you've never even had a relationship with Jesus before. Let me tell you, that's the very first way that we can shift our perspective to Him, is to say, yeah, I need to know You, God. In a moment, I'm going to invite you. Begin that journey. Maybe you're here this morning and you've walked with God in the past. You know in your heart of hearts, like, I haven't really been following Him. I haven't really been serving Him. I haven't really been going to Him as the answer that He is. Well, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to bring you up front. All I'm going to do is I'm going to pray with you. So when you lift up your hand, it's just let me acknowledge that so I can pray with you. Maybe you're here. You don't even know that for eternity, you actually have a place in heaven. You might believe God even. You might think He's capable, but there's just this uncertainty in you of whether or not I were to die, would I end up at the throne of heaven, would I end up in eternity with God? My Bible says that as we believe in our hearts and as we confess with our mouths that we are saved, that there is a deposit guaranteeing. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand as well, just so I can pray for you.